be here. The energy in the room, I didn't realise you were that jazzy. Honestly, I think if I kept going at your age, I'd be in heaven now. And I thought I'd have a go with the flag. And I did a few little movements. And then yours was about 10 times faster than mine. Cool. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will anoint this church, that which you are raising up will be released to the body of Christ, and they'll see miracles and healings. They'll envision the body of Christ. And I pray that you'd increase them so that they can be more resourced to be everything that you have called them to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I go to different churches, and of course, God's doing different things in different churches. I was in a church in Bangor maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and it was like I'd walked through a portal into the Welsh revival. It was just, but it was so chaotic and wild, and everybody there looked as if they'd just come out of hell, which many of them had. And I'm not sure how it wasn't proper enough for the average church. I thought, if revival came, I'm not sure whether the church would be ready, because it's messy. But one of the great things I love about coming here, and my wife as well, and I don't know what I'm picking up, what God is developing here, and it'll be one aspect of what God is doing. He's raising up a prophetic community. So my prayer will be, how can that prophetic community be like a wave across the region? Turn to somebody and say, God's got his hand on you to use you for his glory. By the end of this week, the Chancellor of the Exchequer will be reading her report or whatever it is, budget or whatever. And a lot of businesses are shaking in their boots. And if you switch the television on, we're going bankrupt. And you wouldn't know where to start with what's going on in the world today. What I see alongside that, all over the place, great to see you. I thought it was great what you said about crowns. Praise God. As I go round, there's a set. We're not far away from revival. Because as things go on the edge in the world, you'll start to see people moving towards God, because we live in a crazy world. You know, you might be in your family situation. There might be things going on that you're out of control of. I know I'm working with people whose kids have gone into drugs or alcohol or all sorts of stuff going on. The family's collapsing all over the place. And we live in a crazy world. And I just want to read you a song which was written by in the 60s by a guy who was a poet or a writer, a Jew, and actually became a Christian in the 1990s under Vineyard. His name is Bob Dylan. But he wrote this back then. "'Twas in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue and the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. I was burned out from exhaustion, buried in the hail, poisoned in the bushes, blown out on the trail, hunted like a crocodile, ravished in the corn. Come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm. We are living in a crazy world and a time where as you go out to work and you meet people, they're at the end of their tether and they don't know where to turn or where to run. And behind all their bravado is a very sense of insecurity. And, you know, God wants to use you. God wants to use you to bring them to know Jesus. And because in this crazy world, we need a shelter from the storm. And a Christian is a person who has found that shelter. And as you are meeting people and they start to bear their hearts to you and their heart cry, God wants you to point them to that shelter in the storm. You know, the shelter from the storm is Jesus the rock. Jesus is the shelter. And the secret of being an effective Christian, effective minister, effective church, is an ability to walk into that shelter and take people with you. You see, let Jesus lead you to the cross so that you're protected by the blood. We've got to have a mechanism in our thinking, in our attitude, that when all hell breaks out and people try to kill you or assassinate your character or undermine you, you know how to enter into that shelter in the storm. You know, and let him lead you to the cross. What does that mean? Let him lead you to a place of abandonment. If you're half a Christian, it won't work. Coming to the cross is saying, all of me, I'm laying it down. And when that's how you go into that shelter. You say, oh God, I'm just coming with no strings attached on your terms. And I'm coming to a fresh place of abandonment for you to use me again. And this word is for you.
Amen.
Yeah. That particular part. Fresh place of abandonment for the Lord to use you.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
Okay. You won't have me back. There we go. But once you've come to that place of abandonment, you become protected by the blood. Last night, I was attacked. I said to Sue, I'm not going to be able to go tomorrow. Will you pray for me? I said I was instantly healed. She said to me just now, that's not true. It took half an hour. Hallelujah. But I'm surrounded. I'm surrounded by you. When you know that you live in that shelter, you know that nothing can touch you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. There's been about four times in my life where literally I should have been dead. But I'm surrounded by you. I said to somebody, did you ever watch Star Trek? And they said, why? And I said, well, you know when Captain Kirk went into the Klingon planet or whatever it was he was going to? and they came with their ray guns. Captain Kirk had a little button, he'd press it, and there'd be a shield all around him. And the Lord said, that's what I've done with you. I put my angels around you. Turn to somebody and say, God's put his angel around you. Amen. One of the things we don't understand for Christians, not only have we got the Holy Spirit within, but we've got angelic support without.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the old hymn, I don't know whether you watch cowboy films. Did you ever watch cowboy films? Well, this is one song that you always heard in many cowboy films. Rock of Ages. Cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side that flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power. I've gone to this place where I'm covered by the blood. I don't care what your theology is. I'm covered by the blood. Now, in the Old Testament, I just want to pick three characters. You see, the Old Testament, all the stories in the Old Testament are visual aids of spiritual principles for us as Christians. And there's three characters in the Bible I just want to pick out that when all hell was let loose, they found a shelter in the storm, okay? And those people were Moses, David, Elijah. And they illustrate what can happen when we hide ourselves in Christ. The Bible says, doesn't it, that you are hid with Christ in God in Colossians. In fact, I've just seen it there. Colossians 3, verse 3. This is the secret of power. It is the secret of protection. It's the secret of authority. It's understanding how to hide yourself in Christ. Let's have a look at these guys. Moses in Exodus 33, for example, he found a place where God showed him his glory. David in Psalm 61, when he went into that shelter, it was a place of protection. Elijah in 1 Kings 19, it was a place where he heard God's voice for a fresh assignment. So there'll be people here. And you'll need to enter that shelter for different reasons. So let's just have a look at some of these guys. David, he found himself in a situation where the leader of the country hated him. And so much so that he wanted to kill him every time he played his guitar. I think he might have even been better than you. You know, he was... But that's a 21st century harp, is it? Maybe, I don't know. Hallelujah. So every time he was playing or to calm his nerves down, Saul got out of control. He got out of control because he walked off in the flesh. Started to lead by his own energy, his own opinion, and his own power, and his own glory. So, he got demonically affected. And when he was going through these dark times, he'd pick up a spear and he'd try and kill David. It got so bad that his son said to David, You need to move. You need to get out of here. He's going to kill you. So he was on the run, and everywhere in all the local nations as well, Paul had put wanted posters up for him, and he hunted him down like a dog. So David found himself in this place called Adullam, a cave in a mountain, a shelter from the storm. There are people in this room today who are under attack. You might not lose your life, but they'll try and assassinate your character. And all sorts of things are going on. And you need to move into that shelter in the storm, that cave of Adullam, that place of protection. If you understand how to come into that environment where God is, you're surrounded by God. It is essential, if you want to move in authority, that you understand that you're living under the protection of God. I've had people say, put curses on me. And I've said, I'm not having that, and I'm going to have to pray for you to get blessed now. Because any curse put on you will bounce off on them. That's why you've got to pray for your enemies and those who despitefully use you, because it's dangerous to mess with you. Yeah. Just turn to somebody and say, it's dangerous to mess with you. Hallelujah. Psalm 61, when he became king, he got his chief musician to write this. And I think it expresses what it was like. It brought memories back of when he was in that cave of Adullam. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that's stronger than me. For you have been a shelter for me. That's why I love him. Some of you should be dead now if it wasn't for God. A strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. And I will trust in the shelter of your wings. If you want to move in the area of spiritual warfare, it is essential you understand this. Because you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities in heavenly places and angelic forces, and without Christ, human beings haven't got a shot. Let's have a look at Moses. Moses leads, I read between 600,000 or maybe even 3 million people across the desert. They left Egypt and he was leading a people, but they were full of moaners. Terrible being a leader and you've got a whole nation full of moaners and whingers. Well, I didn't like this. I think it would have been better there. I'm not too sure whether he knows what he's doing. And he's got this all day long. And he says, what am I going to do? Some of them want to kill me. And you know what God said? I want you to come up this mountain to see me. We've got to find the mountains that we should do and move towards where we see him again. Moaning, rebellion, disobedience. It was a living nightmare. And in Exodus 33, it's worth reading 33 and 34. But I've only got a window, so I'm just going to pick this out. Exodus 33, verse 21. And the Lord said, here's a place by me. You've got to say to God, will you take me to the place by you? And you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be, while my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand while I pass by. When we rang that song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. We've got to learn to hide ourselves in Christ. You see, the moaning, the disobedience, the rebellion, the chaos, the clamor. Come, I want you to come to a place by me. And I'm going to position you so I show you fresh glory. You see, ministry is not information. It's impartation. It may involve information, but that's communication. But ministry is an impartation. And it's not, people are transformed not by what they know, not by what you know, but by what you carry. And you only carry what causes you to carry God is glory. Living in that place, fresh place of glory. That's why when all hell has gone on in your life or whatever has happened, and you've come through it, carrying something of more glory. Going from glory has to do with the very presence of God. I remember when I was 21, I was at Keswick. And I was in the youth tent. I must have just got in. It was 21. And the minister on the platform there said, we've got a visitor to come and see us. And I'm sitting there. I'm only a kid, you know. And in walks Billy Graham. Well, what struck me, I can't remember anything he said. Because, you know, when you're that age, you're not picking up all the stuff, are you? But I felt God walked in the room. You see, if you hide yourself in God to a place by me, God says, He'll reveal fresh glory. Now, don't get me wrong. I've got great training modules on how to do this, that, and the other. But you can learn how to do this, that, and the other. But there's something higher, and that's finding a place by Him where God deposits fresh glory into you. Amen. You know, as you go older, the the skin starts to crack, doesn't it? And I don't know why I'm looking at you, Dave.
I'm old.
And I notice on the television there's all sorts of creams you put on to make yourself younger. But there's something better than aloe vera. It's called glory.
Amen.
Will you rub a bit of glory on my countenance?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, sorry about the time. I'm nearly finished. Elijah. The nation really had gone crazy. The king's married to a witch. Doesn't get worse than that, does it? She's not only a princess, she's a priestess of Baal. She's trying to introduce a completely different God into Israel. And part of her assignment is to annihilate all the people that worship Jehovah. So you've got a situation where the king's the king, but the witch is running the country. And he's systematically killing all the ministers who follow God. In some ways, as I look at our country, the attack on Christianity is astonishing. So he's got all this going on, and he's on the run. He's hiding all over the place. In fact, I think he hid on it at the eastern side of Jordan. That's where he was hid. And then God spoke to him and said, look, time for hiding's over. You've got to go and tell Ahab to meet you. Not Carmel, Mount Carmel, which is up in the north. And so, to cut a long story short, you have the situation where the prophets of Baal are there, and some of God's ministers are there as well. And you have this situation where they put two sacrifices on the altar, and the prophets of Baal and Elijah's sacrifice. And he said, look, the God who answers by fire, that's the direction we're going to go in, right? Okay. So the prophets of Baal circle, do all sorts of theatrics, try and make things happen. Nothing happens. Elijah, he just calls on the name of the Lord. Fire comes down, incinerates the offering. And in one day, a whole nation turned to God. Isn't that wonderful? Anyway, they get off, and Jezebel's really angry because he kills all the prophets of Baal. So she's hunting him down like nobody's business. So God says to him, have a big dinner. It wasn't God, he sent an angel, and the angel said, you're going to need a big dinner. Because you've got to go to the mountain of God, the same place Moses was at, Mount Horeb, or named Sinai. So it must be about, I mean, you guys will know more than me, but it might be even 150, 200 miles from Carmel to Sinai. Well, I personally think it was in Midian, which is eastern Saudi Arabia. But whatever way you do, it's still a long way. And God said in 1 Kings 7, 19, verse 7 and 9, God said, "Go out, stand before me on the mountain." As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. You see, he'd found a shelter from the storm. And in this shelter, what happened now was he was getting a fresh word from God. You see, it's in this shelter we get protection. We get fresh glory, and we get a fresh word. And the word for him was, he was obviously cracking it up like me and Dave. He said, "This is the final shot, Elijah. You've got to start positioning all the leaders for the next generation. You've got to go up there and anoint him. You've got to go up there and pray for him. You've got to go over there and you've got to get him and you've got to position them." So he's getting a fresh commission, a fresh assignment. And maybe that's what the Lord's saying to you. Come close to me. Come into my shelter. And I will speak to you of what you've got to do next.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? That's why we've got to say, it says in Colossians 3, verse 3, your life is hid with Christ in God. I like to pray for the sick. I'm seeing a lot of people healed at the moment. Don't know why. I don't know how it works. So don't start asking me any complicated questions. I thought I was healed instantly last night, but apparently it was half an hour. Right, so let's... Adrienne, I don't know who the leaders are, so Adrienne, I want you to have one person there and another person over there, maybe a couple of people here. And if you want prayer for protection, if you're under attack, I want you to go to this side. If you want fresh glory, come somewhere in the middle. If you want to hear a fresh word from God of direction for your life, go over there. Okay? Let's just pray.